technology. It doesn't have to be the boogeyman. Like, it's something that once it is, it'll be used by mom and pops, and we can make sure, you know, our 90% of restaurants fail in their first year. We're using these tools. If we can get down to 80%,
like, try and level the playing field.
Exactly. If we can make it more sustainable for people to do their businesses, like, that just means it's just, more money that's going back in the local pockets of, like,
that's where I see the positive of AI is, and that's where I want to take it and embrace it with, like, the mom and pop to catch up to the big guys. Because the big guys already have the money, like you said. They already have the tools.
Totally.
They're already digging all this. This is where AI is going to help in. And for...
And we're back with another Restaurant Unconfidential. I am Norwood.
I'm Javier.
And we are here to illuminate the darkest corners of the restaurant business. And we're in our series, Tech in the Restaurant Industry. And right now, you know, technology is... We're finally starting to get a little creeping back to getting caught up to the rest of the industries and technology. And... today we're going to be talking about AI. So Wall Street right now, they've got as much invested in AI and automation as a line cook has invested in a small bag of white powdery substances in their pocket on a Friday night. And like this line cook, Wall Street is faced with a lot of issues. Will this investment lead to nothing but good times, or is it going to blow up in their faces? I think the answer, honestly, is a little bit of both. And in this episode, we're going to teach you to enjoy the fun stuff, leave the negative in the dirt, as we decode AI and dive into automation. This episode is AI, see what you did there, punny business in the tech industry.
Nice.
So
I'm excited about this one.
Remind you guys, subscribe and... like us on wherever you find us. That way you catch up with us. It's been a minute since our last episode, and that's, you know, a lot of my fault. Javier's got some projects too.
Hey, we got life.
Yeah, I'm opening my restaurants right now, so just in the middle of the final bits of construction and stuff. And so that's where this tech and stuff is so important to me right now, because I'm also helping open another restaurant on the other side of the country. And yeah, without tech and stuff, I mean, I'm testimonial of, like, how important it is, and your businesses are so tied up in tech and stuff.
Yeah, I've been developing an inventory, the last 6 months, too. So we're right in the middle of this, but we're both very busy. But AI is such an interesting world that we're getting into, and it's going to affect the restaurant industry just like everything else. Yeah. So glad we're talking about.
That interview we had with FlightTrex is so awesome. Learned so much about drones, what they're doing, how safe the aspect of my favorite thing that I've been telling everyone about is, like, no cameras. It's completely safe to send to your home. And, like, we have Cal Poly here in San Luis Obispo. So if you have those students, you know, a lady wants something delivered late night, instead of having some creep come up to the door that she doesn't know, the little drone's just going to drop it off, leave, go on its drone.
It's safer than anything else,
so,
really.
Yeah, that was such a cool part of it that we learned from that interview. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to it, because it's so illuminating when you find out the cost of drones versus, like, third-party delivery and all. There's so much great information there. So let's get into it. Quick fire.
Nice.
What is the top task that you'd like to see automated in the restaurant?
Oh, for me, I hate cleaning. So
I'm with you there.
After a busy day of racking through, the last thing you're going to do is clean up after that. So, I mean, anything to do with cleaning, I would love to see a Roomba that just takes over the restaurant and does anything.
Climbs
the floor,
the
grease, the whatever it is. Right.
They have something like that, and that goes into your grease traps. They have, like, a little automated guy that does high heat steam that the businesses are starting to use more now.
Anyone that comes in up with that stuff, and it's the manpower. You're going to spend that already, so you end up keeping your staff, you know that, to do the cleaning after a busy day.
Yeah.
And the busier they are, the busier, the dirtier.
Those are the hours that go into overtime. Yep. That's the stuff. And then you don't want to do it because you're paying in people time and a half or double time sometimes. Yep. And then just to clean up. And then, so.
Even a simple fryer, you shut the lid on it and you come back in the morning, it's just spick and span. It's got stuff on the side.
When I was at Chase Center, we had a lot of services that came and did those heavy duty cleaning and stuff. Oh my God, the feeling of just being able to leave it and know it's going to be clean the next day for you.
I love that.
So my personal one, same kind of, like, tedious tasks, that saucing ramekins. So I've seen some automated tools that'll, like, you put your bag, big batch of salsa, and it'll pouch it up, and then you can have your branded logo on there. Nice. It sits there, but it's also your fresh product, and so you don't have to worry about spillage, but you get these little sauce packets. Super cool.
Those, like, are the little tedious jobs that you even feel horrible paying a staff member, or even having a staff member do. You're like, literally, it could be done by... anyone. Like,
It's got to be done. It's like, you still have to have the little side sauces and stuff. But
wrapping,
it's also,
silverware, that kind of stuff.
And they hate doing it too. Like, especially like front of the house. They're like, I'm not running tables. I'm not getting paid like good time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm missing out on money. I'm doing,
So AI and automation are new buzzwords in the tech scene, a scene the restaurants industry seems to finally be getting hip to, catching up a little bit. But what are these new tools, and how does a mom and pop restaurant implement them? We will explain these new tools and the technology surrounding them in some terms we can all understand, with some great examples to go along with it and all that in today's episode. So first off, someone go reboot the BurgerBot 2000. We've got orders piling up. We're busy as hell recording this episode of Restaurant Unconfidential.
Nice.
So the big buzz around AI and automation are how they're going to replace workers. How true is that for the restaurant industry? Personally, I think automation shines on single task actions. So that's where we're talking about cleaning and stuff, but it's a Roomba, so it's doing your floors and stuff. You're not, that's when people say, like, you have to worry about replacing, like, staff and stuff. It's a long time till we have a burger bot, like, realistically being
that's
able
doing
to do
two more
the
things.
Line. It's not easy for a robot to go check in orders, to do grill work, and then do the cleaning at the end, like having all these different tasks. So jobs there are going to be safe for a long time, but it's where you can like go into specific spots, I think, that's great for getting so we've got our two guest producers in today, Finn and Junior. So yeah, we got the pups in today, so they're being absolutely adorable. No automating that adorableness. But so the main difference in manufacturing and where it's already been automated is those, like, being able to do two, three, four things at once. The amount of unique actions you needed out throughout the day, like, is so different in the, from like a factory position to a mom and pop. But
I'm about to replace these dogs with AI. Hey, chill out. Okay. Well, I mean, like you're saying, cost wise, efficiency wise, it's not there yet because they can only do really one good task. But the scary thing is how fast tech is moving. It won't be that far before they go, you know, I can do three now. That's where, you know.
And that's when, and it's too, it's a great tool to like incorporate into your staff and get them excited to be using versus like that mentality of like, I'm replacing you. It's like, well, no, if you want 25, you know, $30 an hour or something like that. And, you know, if you need to be a single income earner, like not have to have two jobs, you're going to have to do two, three people's worth of work. And so if I can give you these automation tools, like, so when I was at Apple, we served, you know, 3,000 people in a lunch doing 12 unique menus every single day from different stations. And so we use tools like automated shoppers and things like that to go through a lot of that process. So you can do, you know, three people's worth of cutting instantaneously versus like having doing the hand chop stuff. And then you're also, your cuts come out perfect.
Consistency,
and like
wait out. Yeah, my staff actually liked when I started adding that kind of automated things.
Yeah.
They were doing it, but it was old school. It's the same thing. You start automating things, you think they're going to get rid of two, three jobs. Who's going to be repairing these machines? Who's going to be training them? Who's going to be overseeing them at the restaurant? Those are all jobs that are going to have to get filled too.
Exactly.
So just think of, you're just going to elevate yourself into the next step.
Yeah, it's all, it's how you roll it out to your staff and how you get buy-in and stuff. It's the same thing if we're doing like new rules or new introducing new menus or things like that. It's how you do it and introduce it. It's going to make the biggest difference in the world. So AI isn't any really near enough to it's not creating things as well too. So that's another thing. Like, that's other tasks that you can really get people excited about. It's like, well, if we can expedite the tedious cutting and these basic stuff, then that leaves you guys more room to be creative and like build up your repertoire, and that gives us more time to do a chef to come in and do one-on-one kind of demos and stuff. Whereas if everyone's busy cutting and stuff, then then there's no time to kind of bust around and be like, let me take you off to the side and teach you how to butcher a fish or something like that. Because there's still a ways out before automation that a mom and pop can afford can do like a fish butchery or anything like that. Like, and so then those are great tools that they can take on to be on their career. And then automation like I've said, I'm a big proponent. We've talked about this last week with the Flytrex. I think those third-party delivery apps are like transitory in between technologies, and this automation is kind of like that next step. And so it helps kind of like us roll over to the where the future is going to be, like with restaurants, rather than kind of like being stuck in the where we are right now. Because the situation right now, 30%+ like as a starting point for delivery app fees and stuff like that is like undoable.
Yeah.
You can't build a restaurant.
Yeah,
around
it's not sustainable.
And my restaurant, we're not even starting with even thinking about it. It's like, hey, you can come in and get it. I'm gonna have like a nice light white wine on tap and then a raw bar. So if you wanna come in and pick up an order and get a half a glass of white wine, three oysters for like $10 while you're waiting.
Incentives, yeah.
Yeah, like that to get people in, whatever. But yeah, you still gotta swing by. Like we'll walk the order out to you to the parking
lot. Really
we'll
smart.
Do what we can, but
because think of the incentives they're like McDonald's or these Domino's are giving to use their app.
Yeah.
Same thing. You got to start adding incentives to actually get them back in
exactly.
your door. One of them is going to be not adopting so much AI. It's going to be beautiful to go into a restaurant and still see all staff, you know, and the human aspect of it. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
It really comes down to the concept of what you're trying to build.
Yeah, and that you can make your negatives into a positive. Like, we're more artisan. We're more hands-on. Mm-hmm. And people are like, I really want that. Mm-hmm. And so you build that up as a perk versus, like, the negative and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I love the way you're putting that. Mm-hmm. So that's a great, and we're talking about great points with that. Now, automated delivery is a great tool that's becoming more and more commonplace. Javi, how do you see the future unfolding with what you've experienced, and especially from talking to Ben last week with Flytrex? Like, how's that shifted and like painted your view of that right now?
At first, I thought it was going to be a lot more, like they weren't going to be able to pull off something this quick and actually spread. It's simpler than I thought, and I like the privacy of it. I like the safety of it.
That's
all those things that I was afraid of. Like, there's no way. Yeah, that's they're figuring it out. I think once they get it figured out, like they're doing right now in a couple big states, like big regions, then it's just easy to fill in.
Yeah.
So short distance, I like that. You know, the
I think that's been kind of like really kind of figured out. Like you see, like in hotels, in places, you'll see the delivery bot going from the dining area, the food service area up to your room.
Yeah.
You see down in LA, lots of college campuses, the little.
They got DoorDash
cooler.
Here at Cal Poly. And that thing's funny. I was driving on campus the other day. You have to stop. It crosses the road with its light, goes on. Yeah. So it's they figured out the short. I think that the drones are taking the medium.
Yeah.
You know, the medium distance. I don't know about long, but Amazon, I'm sure, is going to figure it out soon enough.
I think all that's kind of good, especially when the drones and the flying stuff is like just really widely adapted and accepted by people, then that the medium and long range stuff will be figured out.
Yeah.
And then we can have, you know, our Amazon stuff like we want without having to make someone go pee in a bottle and like have, you know, crazy shifts and stuff and like have everything timed to like you only had 30 seconds to like you were supposed to walk to the door within 30 seconds, but it took you 32. You're getting a demerit. And like them straight. Yeah. No one needs to be stressing like that.
Yeah.
Like a little robot do that. That's what robots are supposed to be like. They need to stress like that.
Yeah. No. That's
so not. If automation is going to have or do you have an, is going to have a tougher time replacing cooks. Mm-hmm. Where do you see some positions being replaced by a robot version of themselves in the hospitality space?
So what where do you see that?
You know what? Simple spots where like most of your shift is one simple task, even though if it is does have a couple complicated steps in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think those spots where you are spending your shift one spot.
Like your station.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So I'm thinking like bartenders, baristas, those kind of things. They are very complicated, but they also are one spot where it's something like that. Like, so like you see that now, robo bartenders, robo baristas, like big kind of kiosk machines and spaces. Like it's one robotic arm kind of doing the coffee service in a little cube, or like having like and like you see in like Tokyo and stuff, there's robo cafes and stuff where it's fully
automated.
They've nailed
it down because they understand we're not in like the food feeding industry. They can go get that anywhere.
Yeah.
You have we're in the entertainment industry. So adding those kind of things, that's where I can see AI kind of taking off. Those baristas, those bartenders.
But like you were saying before, like some spots, some people are going to want like hey, I do want to see people making the drinks. I do want to see that. So like I think there is, but sometimes if you're in the hotel or if you're in the airport and you're just trying to get your nice thing and kind of you're already chatting with someone else, you don't want to have this other conversation, and you just want a really good drink done quickly, then an automated service is amazing.
That's a good
point. Plus for for owner operators, it's completely accurate pours. Recipes are super consistent every single time. They can help you keep up with your ABC and local like laws and stuff too, because you're not having to worry about someone hooking someone up with that double pour and then they're driving home drunk as hell. These are something where it's like, no, everything's really like dialed in. And
that's where I can see later on the incentives, maybe the ABC department or those kind of you don't need to get so much certification or testing when it's robust. Exactly. That's where I see that kicking in, and it's going to even spur more of the use of these, you know?
And so McDonald's and stuff, they've tried to do AI. And so some stuff isn't quite there yet.
Right.
And that's where you see like lots of big money going into. So I think McDonald's tried to roll out in over 100 stores doing AI ordering. Didn't do it. They pulled the entire project and basically shelved it until later because, yeah, just customer interaction isn't there. I'm seeing some spots where they're outsourcing the stuff to like places like India or stuff.
I've seen that.
So it's saying like, yeah, it's like your AI, like you're going into an Amazon Fresh store and the cameras are able to watch you, and then you don't have to go to cash register or whatever. But then we see on another, it's written like kind of exposed of like, actually, those videos were, that was just someone in India, like watching videos and trying to like keep up with what you picked up, and that there is actually no AI and stuff, and like kind of like disingenuous uses of it, or just like
they tell you
before it's ready.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it is. There's a lot of, you know, in the background, there's a lot of things that people are saying, AI, but it's, we're still formulating where it's going, what it's doing.
Yeah. And I think those kind of things. There's no reason to push it like forward any faster than it needs to. Like, it's a good tool, but it, like, if you're trying to like, yeah, just basically lie to people saying like, we're AI enabled and it's doing this, but it's such a stock.
Still the human
buzzword.
On the other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then especially when you're putting that kind of money into it. So it looks like there are some good spots and situations AI and automation can replace a person with. Well, once the tech catches up, kind of that's the story kind of unfolding here. But are there spaces you see, Javi, that could see being totally changed by AI and automation and totally remove any human like interactions?
I think like one of the biggest ones is going to be travel. I think as it is, it stretches people out. We make it a sacrifice. You maybe make one trip a year if lucky. And people are now the world's too small. We want to see, you know, more. We want to walk through what we're seeing every day now. The world's so tiny. You're seeing people's backyards across the globe, right? So we want to, I think the virtual reality, VR headsets, we're going to not, you know, it'll be, you have a family member that's sick. You don't need to travel. It's got like, you can be there by their bedside tomorrow. Put on the I think the whole family can be in the same room with the VR thing. You know, it's going to come down to that, but it's also going to make travel vary for the elite. You're going to pay, you know, $10,000 a ticket. Maybe it was $1,000 before. So yeah, it's going to, I think we're going to see that in a lot of travel, business travel. I mean, it gets expensive when you put people in convention centers, hotels, all that. What's the point?
Where it is, there's like bar service or something like that. If you're business traveling and you're out there at 6 a.m. and you're coming from somewhere and your time different, you're expecting, you're feeling like it's like noon for you because you've been traveling. And then,
you flew one guy in for $2,000. No, totally. It's going to be different. The conventions, I actually think it'll even be virtual convention halls.
That's a big,
I think it's going to be where like a restaurant, like a Cisco Foods has a virtual restaurant expo and everyone's got their VR things, including the vendors, you know, and you could walk right up to the vendor and talk one-on-one. So I just see it going that way.
It opens, affordably opens up like 24-hour services for like business travel and stuff too. And like can afford, or if you do have in-person, like things like that, like to be able to have, especially like think of like a hotel, someone gets in at a crazy hour, but they want to have dinner because they're expecting it in their body. It's like 8 o'clock for them, but they're checking in at 1 a.m. after like their time change.
I hate going on trips like that. I'm like shot around after 3 days of that stuff.
And there's no food and the only thing's vending machines and stuff. But if you have like automated, like good quality food and like stuff that's all automated that can be done 24 hours a day, that's a killer like benefit for like the hotels, like you're saying, like the airports, like that kind of stuff.
That could have a Taco Bell kiosk in every hotel.
Yeah, with stuff.
I mean, if that's what they wanted
to
take it to.
Exactly. It's something that's hot. It's ready to go. Yeah. It's stuff that like you don't necessarily need a person in there to make these like kind of like reheat and do some finishing touches.
Coca-Cola figured it out, and they're just like little ink jets. I'm sure Taco Bell can ship out, you know, bean jets.
If you look at in Japan, there's all so many automated vending machines for, like, you get things like a hot bowl of ramen or like a good sandwich or something like that. Now take it a couple more steps of that, and then you get this, you know, a bowl. And you go to colleges, there's pizza vending machines. You can get set like that. So, like, to have that, bring that into where it's more commonplace, and then just so you crank up the quality a couple clicks too. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, such a good perk that it is, like, even if it's hit a couple of times because it's off hours, it's still not someone that you're paying overtime. Yeah. So it can, like, you keep that base pay that you can, like my machine only cost me, you know, $800 a month to lease it. And then so it's not like getting overtime because it's working 2 a.m. or whatever when this guy comes in.
And those costs keep going down. Like in a restaurant, when I was a kid, you had a coffee machine and no one could ever have those in their house. Now everyone has a Keurig. Same thing. You know what I mean? No one had a fryer in their house. You can go down to Best Buy right now and pick up a fryer for your house.
Little tables.
You know what I mean? Like a little, exactly.
The sous vide machines. Like I remember when I started doing sous vide stuff in like early aughts, and the only immersion circulators we get were used in medical services, and they were like about $1,500 a pop. Now you can get a Bluetooth enabled one that you can have set up, that you can start on your phone at your lunch break at work, so that way your steak's like perfectly sous vide to get a quick sear on it when you get home. And that stuff, and that's...
Yeah, it even cooks better than you could ever cook. Yeah, that's a thing. Like, air fryers and stuff. Like, so, I think everything is going to get down to the price where people take it home.
Yeah. So when we look at the discussion today, mixing the interview with Ben from FlyTrex last week, where do you see AI and automation in the next 5 years? Where do you see?
In the next five years, I think like what we're talking about, it's definitely automated food orders and purchasing. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be any more guessing within your restaurant.
That's a good, you bring that. We haven't really talked about that, like purchasing and how AI, that is like...
it's going to be more knowledgeable about what's going through your business than you, than any staff member.
Because like so much of AI is like just predictive text like generation and stuff. And so it's taking patterns and stuff and then putting on what they perceive to be the most logical next step to like that pattern. And ordering, like you order the same stuff and your orders go off patterns and it's all. Yeah. So like having AI integrated into your ordering to be able to like quickly take a picture and decipher the information on there and have it integrated into your inventory management software.
It's like a good example. If it sees burger sales going up 3% this 1 week, it's going to add 3% more purchase the next week.
Exactly.
And if it corrects itself and goes, now it's under 3%, it's going to, but it will do that better than any human could possibly keep track of things.
And then it's smooth, like, and so there's another, that's just one of the spots where AI can, where it is like the, it's not having to like oversell it or anything. Like that's exactly what AI is doing right now.
It's what
it's a great spot.
Everyone's asking for this kind of help. Yeah. So I could see that food ordering a lot more fully robotic in businesses, especially fast food. If we're trying to price, you know, of employees and price of food is getting so high that at some point, and the liability, the insurances, it's just insane depending on the state. So I could see that. I could see a concept like McDonald's or something, you know, Starbucks coming out and saying, look, you're the only way we can keep your coffee under $10 is to have half of it automated.
Yeah.
And that's the only way. So people will give into it and go, okay, fine, we get it.
That's where I'd like to see it's more exciting for me seeing like the AI robotics automation being rolled out to where mom and pops can use it because that's the thing. Starbucks went a while ago. They don't, you know, grind and hand pour.
They're lost.
It's an automated machine and it totally comes across in the flavor and stuff. You don't get a nice head of crema on your espresso pulls. You don't get the quality there that, like we said, like, sometimes you do. That's where the benefit of a real person in there doing it the old school way. You get the quality. You get that.
It's going to be so nostalgic in the future. People are going to want to see. They're going to be like, what? That guy knows how to make a cappuccino by hand.
Yeah. Like, oh, the flavor. I'm like, I was missing this bit. And the good thing with those companies, too, is when they do automate, the workers don't see benefit of that. The people, even the managers, the franchisees don't really see that. It's people at the very top that see the benefits of that. People that are making more of the benefit of like the stock market rather than the actual profits of the individual businesses.
Right.
So the more the bigger meta like picture of everything, that the business side of it. So when all this stuff goes to the mom and pops and everything, that is going to benefit the employees. They are going to see that the franchise owner, the person that's owning the restaurant.
Is that what you see mainly automated in the next 5 years? Things. I mean, I could see that too. Yeah. Things that actually are going to benefit that end user, not take jobs away. But
exactly. Yeah. Not. It's like, yeah, building on jobs, making it so that restaurants can't afford to pay people correctly. The people that they're working with, the people that are running those individual restaurants. Say you have like two or three restaurants, you know, you're going to see the benefit of that. Whereas if you have a franchise owner of two or three McDonald's, you're not really seeing the huge benefits that those like the AI and stuff is. It's going above you, even your head,
right?
Like
yeah,
the people
yeah.
that are really banking,
and they already are getting a lot of that data already on that higher end. Like we're really what you're like exactly where I agree with you is it's going to be the mom and pop that is going to get data extracted and handed to them daily without them even realizing, oh my God, I haven't even been looking at this, or I haven't even been focusing on these the pennies I'm losing over here every day. Those kind of things, these big companies are already doing it. We literally, even if a restaurant mom and pop wanted to, you don't have the time, you don't have the bandwidth, you don't have the energy.
And that's the thing, like the mom and pops are local businesses whose local money goes back into the local economy. Yep. Whereas McDonald's, we keep going with them, they're using that. The money they make off all of this isn't going back into
local economies.
Yeah,
it's going to stock market.
It's going to people that have a ton of money already. Yeah. They're just going to keep accumulating rather than like sharing like wealth redistribution kind of thing. So like it's another thing too. Like technology doesn't have to be the boogeyman. Like it's something that once it is, it'll be used by mom and pops, and we can make sure, you know, our 90% of restaurants fail in their first year. We're using these tools. If we can get down to 80%,
like try and level the playing field.
Exactly. If we can make it more sustainable for people to do their businesses, like that just means it's just more money that's going back in the local pockets. Of like,
that's where I see the positive of AI and that's where I want to take it and embrace it with like the mom and pop to catch up to the big guys, because the big guys already have the money, like you said, they already have the tools,
totally.
They're already digging all this is where AI is going to help in. And for the reason it will take off like wildfires, it's not going to, I don't believe, cost that much. Look at ChatGPT right now for free. As a lot of these things are going to be where tools that they would maybe even big companies like McDonald's had to go buy a tech company to build all this. In 5 years, it's going to be a plug and play. I want my POS to tell me this now. All AI generated way before that. I mean, our Apple phones are already doing it. So
It's
interesting world.
It's very interesting indeed. But that kind of wraps up for this week, breaking down AI and automation in general. I think this week paints a clear picture of the true state of AI and the automation as it affects the day-to-day life right now. And I think that's what we're talking about, how it's going to affect the getting to the mom and pops, getting to the small business. Like, even if you're, you're still basically mom and pop, even if I have 10 restaurants, you're still mom and pop. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not, you know, national, international level. So it's going to be beneficial for you, and it's going to like really help you. Like, what's exciting for me is going to help people like tell their story more and focus on that too. Mm-hmm. Like, rather than like have to get buried in the weeds of the monotony of like day to day business, they're going to be able to like get out there and
you can breathe a little. You actually all these little mundane, like you're saying right now. If you have somebody filling up ramekins, you have fucking somebody rolling silver. You have somebody, you know what I mean? All these little tasks. That's where I see the positiveness of it. You can actually get back to talking to your customers, creating menu dishes and loving what you were doing.
Have staff like servers that aren't stressed out about rolling silverware.
Yeah.
Where they're like, all right, I just threw a big bus tub of silverware.
Or creating their end of day reports. It's done. And it's deeper than your manager could have done.
And then they're out there, they're like positive. Now they're talking to the customers with a positive attitude. So if you haven't listened to it already, check out our interview last week with Ben Thine of Flytrex to get some more direct industry insight into where automation is and where it's going in the future. Like I say, it's a tool we see in the future just getting rolled out and more accessible to the mom and pops and becoming more of a day-to-day kind of thing. These tools are just that, tools. And we need to learn to use them to their fullest potential instead of fearing progress. In this competitive field where margins are tighter than ever, these might be some of the tools that we use to give yourself a little bit of breathing room. That's what we're talking about. Stretch those margins back out a little bit.
Yeah.
Make sure, bring that 90% fail rate to 80%, to 75 to 60. Just crank it back down.
Yep.
So that's it for us today. I'm Norwood.
I'm Javier.
We are Restaurant Confidential. Thank you so much for giving us your time. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.